Today we're beginning a new series called Walking with Jesus, and this is really a series that's intended to lead up to Easter. This is a time that the church is often referred to as Lent, this season of preparation and self-examination as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And 40 days leading up marks that number in Scripture of Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days, also the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 days, and that being not only a place of testing and trial, but a place of a renewed faith, a renewed relationship with God. The wilderness is not only the place of testing, it's the place where we find the grace for transformation in our hearts. And my hope through this series is that walking with Jesus, we can all, wherever you are in that journey, if you don't know Jesus, my hope would be that through his word and his invitations, listening to Jesus, that you would come to know Jesus personally. That's my greatest desire. If you're not ready to make that commitment yet, we're just glad you're here. And I'm just glad you're with us, whether that's in person or that's online. You can belong with us. We see this in the life of Jesus, that individuals who you wouldn't think could be around him are welcome to belong with him. And Jesus shares meals with people who many religious people had problems with. But there's also a sense in which you only really know what it means to belong when you trust in Jesus, because then you really can know what it means to know him in your heart and be at home with him. And then if you're somebody who's a follower of Jesus, who's already entered into a personal relationship, we still need his grace. There's still a deeper walk that he calls us to. And every year of following him, every day, every month, is an opportunity to draw closer to him. So we're going to be looking at a number of sayings of Jesus, specifically inviting people to follow him and try to listen in to God's word, and more importantly, to Jesus who still speaks today, so that we can trust him more. Today we're going to look at this saying where Jesus says in John 1:35 through 39, come and see. And this is a beautiful, beautiful invitation. Before we read the passage, I want to kind of talk a little bit about belonging. One of the things that came to my mind is all of us have times in our lives where we wonder if we fit in, if we belong. Maybe it's in a new job that we thought would fit us, but we struggle to find our way to feel like we belong. Maybe it's something more as growing up, we're looking for a group to belong with, and sometimes that impacts us when we're teenagers and we're dealing with our own identity and where do we fit in. We all want to belong somewhere. And sometimes we wrestle with that, do I belong here? And we're looking for a place to call home, a permanent place of safety, of perfect acceptance. We all desire that. And every place we turn, even those closest to us, don't fully provide that permanent sense of acceptance, belonging, and safety. And one memory came to my mind is some of how this goes, maybe you can relate to. I thought of the cafeteria table in high school or grade school. And I know a number of our schools, my kids are in a much bigger school here being in District 150, but I was in a school where there was 30 kids in my class. And that was about two cafeteria tables. And so like which table you sat at was a big deal. And I remember, you know, there was two tables and the one table had the athletes, the cheerleaders, the other table had most people who weren't the athletes and the cheerleaders. And I remember I sat at that other table. And I remember, you know, being in junior high and my freshman year, I was slow to grow. I had my baby fat. I was short. I had big glasses. And I just, and I was struggling. I had a lot of insecurities. And then something happened over the summer. I grew 6 inches. I got contacts. And I remember coming in the first day of school of what would be my sophomore year. And the principal, I walked right by him and he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "In all my years of being a principal, I have never seen somebody have a total transformation as much as you. I've seen it before, but never like this." And I came in, and I was the same person inside. I was that same insecure, trying to find my way. Nothing in here changed, but all of a sudden, I was a little taller. I tried out for the basketball team. I was on the basketball team. And all of a sudden, I remember I was welcome to the other table. People wanted me to sit by them at the other table. But I didn't really feel right, and you can probably relate to this. So I remember I sat there for a while, and I was like, well, all my friends over there were looking at me like, what a jerk. So then I went back to the other table, and I wanted to be at both tables. It bothered me. And it's interesting that when it comes to belonging, So many times we think of that way. You've got to be worthy. You've got to be acceptable. There has to be something about you that is appealing or worthy to belong somewhere. Some of you can relate to that. Now, we look back on how silly that is, that happens. But you know, there's a lot of ways, even in our adult lives, that stuff like that still happens. And but what I want to tell you today is the kingdom of God does not work like that. And this is very, very good news. God's kingdom is nothing like that. All of us are welcome. You don't get a seat at his table by being worthy. You don't earn your way to sit at his table. He invites us. It is his invitation. And his invitation is for everyone, every single person. And we're welcome there. And it's so important. And I think sometimes even subconsciously, we accidentally or whatever, we're so used to human relationships that we begin to think that if I'm going to be with God, I'm going to have to do all these things to be acceptable by him. None of us are worthy. All of us have in common, we're sinners. We've taken what God has created good and we've turned it inward to self-centeredness and we've caused so much hurt. Yet the Lord Jesus comes as the worthy one, the perfect sinless Savior, and he invites us to his table and he makes us worthy by placing our faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord. And we're welcome. And he makes us new, and he begins to change us to be like him. But it isn't in the way so that we can be better and step on people. No, it's so that we can follow his example of humble service and love to each other. So this is the Lord Jesus that invites us. Come and see. Let's look at the passage together. John 1:35, reading in the New Living Translation, says this. The following day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, this is John the Baptist. It says, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. It's an amazing encounter with Jesus here. This first exposure to Jesus in John's gospel tells us a lot of things about how we are to walk with Jesus. This incredible invitation, come and see, is an incredible invitation to belong, that Jesus wants us to belong. He wants us to find our home, that place of permanent love and acceptance and belonging with him. And in a very real sense, every other place of belonging, our marriages, our homes, at their best, they're very dim reflections of this ultimate invitation to belong in God's family. This is where you and I were made to live. In eternity, this is what we experience. When we are with the Lord for all eternity is to belong in his family with him in his kingdom fully as his sons and daughters. This is the most incredible invitation. And I want to make a few insights into this as we look at this in the passage today. Notice how this invitation that Jesus gives to these two disciples, John and Andrew, is to invite them in to share a meal with him. And this is what's amazing. Jesus invites them to not just learn from him by him teaching them. It's not an invitation to say, come and hear a sermon that I'm going to share with you, or a seminar. Instead, this is an invitation to learn by just being with the Lord Jesus Christ. So important. If your spiritual life consists of sermons, and those are meaningful, they're helpful when they point to God, but if that's all it consists of, there's so, so much more. A sermon is only intended to be a catalyst to help you understand God's word better so that not you'll just go study God's word. It's important that you study God's word personally, but that you'll encounter God through his word, that you'll be with Jesus, that you'll spend time with Jesus daily, being with him. What's interesting too, and we might miss it, there's a big contrast going on in this passage between John the Baptist and Jesus. Now think with me about John the Baptist. If you have time later today, you can kind of look him up, read more about him, read the earlier part of the chapter. But he is this wilderness prophet. He is a strange man. He eats locusts. He wears camel hair. He's this dirty, probably smelly man who is in the wilderness, and he's crying out, "Repent, repent," and he's preparing the way for the Messiah. And here's this picture we have of this John the Baptist calling out, shouting out, "Repent." And the people are coming. People are searching for God, just like today here, especially after 2020. People are still looking for God. They're looking for that place to belong. They're looking. They don't know it's God yet, but it's God who made our hearts for him. And they're looking, and they're looking, and he's inviting us to come. And they come, and they hear John the Baptist. They're looking for salvation. And he talks about the one who is coming, but the question is, what will this Jesus be like? Well, when we encounter him, we also might say, what criteria would make these two disciples worthy to be with this one, this promised Messiah? But the picture we have here is rather remarkable. Jesus says, "Come and see." What's interesting is John doesn't quite recognize Jesus. In fact, we're told that in the verses right before this, that John doesn't recognize Jesus until he sees the Spirit descend on Jesus at his baptism. He didn't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah until the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Because Jesus comes in such a gentle way. He comes as the Lamb of God in a gentle way, as this gentle Messiah. He would be the sacrificial offering to atone for our sins. I think of this passage, and I'm going to actually share it in the King James Version just because it's one of those passages that sounds so beautiful in the King James Version. It's Matthew 11:28. Hear this. And this is a very familiar passage. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls." What a beautiful passage. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one who said to John and Andrew, "Come and see." This is the one who says to us people, followers of Jesus today, "Come and see." And this is the same one that says to those who are yet to be followers of Jesus, who don't think they could ever belong in this kind of home with God, with Jesus, he would say, "Come and see." You see, this is an incredible invitation to belong that Jesus gives. I want to share with you this morning three ways that we can respond to this invitation. I want to take them right from the passage here, and I've adapted this from a book called Following Jesus by Henry Nouwen. So I want to share with you these three ways that he gives. Number one, listen. How can we respond to this invitation? Number one, listen. Did you catch it? Verse 36 and 37. Says, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and he declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." So John looks to his disciples. He says, "Look, over there, this is the Lamb of God." And he tells us the disciples heard this and they followed Jesus. The disciples listened to John pointing to Jesus. You know what's fascinating is they've been following John. John's been talking about a Messiah who's coming. But John is just like you and I. He is called by God. He's a prophet. But John can't take people's sins away. No human being can remove the guilt of sin and the wrong things that we've done. No human being could do that. When John recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah, God himself who's come to save sinful humanity, John points to Jesus and says, "This here is the Lamb of God." And that imagery of lamb I've already mentioned is one of a gentle, meek, and lowly Savior, but also it's sacrificial that he would be the one, by his own life, death, and resurrection, he would atone for our sins and he would make you and I worthy. It would be his once-for-all sacrifice that would make it possible for you and I to belong with God. So what do? They respond. I want to challenge you here. Who should we listen to? Well, number one, we want to listen to God through his word. But also, I venture to say that if you're following Christ now, you didn't come to that on your own. There were people like John the Baptist who said, hey, I know somebody. He's changed my life. Jesus saved me. I was lost, and you should have seen me before I knew Jesus, but he's made me a new person. He's taken my sin away, and you can know him too. There is hope. There is life. Reaching a hand out from the heart. And let me challenge you, listen to people like that. Listen to people who base their life on God's word, who focus on loving God with all their heart, soul, and who people who authentically know Jesus, and they're reaching out to you, say, hey, follow him. Follow him with me. Let me show you where I found life. God often reaches out to us through other people, and let me challenge you as well. Other people are looking. These disciples were looking. People were coming out. They're looking. They don't know they're looking for God yet. They don't know that the answer, they're looking in all the normal ways. If I just got a different job, I'd be happy. If I could just be this, or if I look different, I could do this, that. They're searching, they're searching. And you as followers of Jesus, you have this treasure, Paul talks about, hidden in an earthen weak vessel. You have this treasure of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Please, don't cover that up. Nobody needs you to go stand on a corner and get out a microphone and start preaching doom and gloom. They need you to live as the light. They need you to love from the heart, to know Jesus. Say, come, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Invite them in. Listen. Listen is the first way that we respond to this invitation, come and see. The second is this, ask. This is verse 38. Jesus looked around them and saw them following. I love this. So John says, hey, behold the Lamb of God over here. Disciples are like, see you, John. John and Andrew, they start following him. And they're following, and Jesus turns, he sees them. And I love that he says, what do you want? Now, Jesus knows what's going on. But he asks them, what is it that you want? What are you looking for? And they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher. I love that they say, where are you staying? Where are you staying? It's almost like they're not quite bold enough to invite themselves over. You've done this. I've done this. You ever have somebody who kind of is inviting themselves over to your house, and you may not want them over right now because your house isn't clean? It's almost like that's what's going on here a bit. So where are you staying? You know, I mean, many of us would be like, you don't need to know. We're right now. We're on our way to the store, but Jesus doesn't do that. So they ask. There's a curiosity. They're listening, and then they ask Jesus, where is it that you are staying? I love that they don't ask right here, what must we do to be saved, although that's very, very important. Right here, they don't ask, like, you know, hey, Jesus, like, what do I need to do to be worthy? They don't ask that. They just say, where are you staying? And it reveals their heart. They just want to be with Jesus. They want to be around him. They want to discover who he is. It reminds me of Psalm 84, 9 through 11. It's a beautiful psalm where the psalmist says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. And I think this is kind of like the heart. I'll read the passage. It says, O God, look with favor. Be our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. And I love this. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. How lovely is it to dwell with the Lord, to belong with him. And that's what is the heart of these disciples. They don't even know. John says, this is the Lamb, this is the one. And in faith, they listen to John, they ask, where are you staying at? And how does Jesus respond? He says, why don't you come and see? He doesn't say, time out. You were following that guy? If you're going to follow me, you thought it was tough to follow John. To follow me, you're going to have to do these things, because I'm this. No, he says, come and see. He invites them to belong right now. Don't mistake me. God will deal with our sins. He will. He does want us to repent. Jesus says repent too. But Jesus doesn't say repent like John said repent. John's just saying turn away from your sins. Turn to the one who's coming. John can't do anything about our sins. But when Jesus says repent, Jesus is saying, why don't you come home? Why don't you stop running in your sin? Why don't you stop doing life your way and all the problems it's creating? Why don't you turn away from that dead way of living? And you and I know it well. And why don't you turn to me and trust in me and have life? He's inviting us to come home. Amen. Repenting is turning away from sin, but it's turning to the God who loves you. And guess what? Jesus is not like John. Jesus can remove sin from our life. He can free us. Isn't that wonderful news this morning? It is. It's wonderful, wonderful news. So the third response is this. Dwell. Dwell. Verse 39. Jesus says, come and see. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Could you imagine going to where Jesus is, where he's staying? It implied in all this is the hospitality Jesus would have provided. They stayed through a mealtime. Jesus is providing a meal. He's entertaining them. I mean, this is so crazy, and it's so dangerous for us church people. We just read these like we know it all, and I'm guilty of that because I grew up in the church. But when I stop and I just go, like, oh my goodness, this is God himself, the creator of this vast universe, this infinite universe. This is God himself become human. And he is entertaining James or John and Andrew, two disciples. He's serving already. He's showing us who God is. You catch this? This is who God is. He invites us to dwell with him. And they respond by going and staying with Jesus. This is a word. The word for staying is a word for dwelling. It's one of remaining. It's lingering. It has a sense of permanence to it, of staying and dwelling. And I would say this morning that the key to discipleship, we could talk a lot about discipleship. There's so many books written about discipleship, and they're good and they're helpful. But the key to discipleship is staying with Jesus. It's dwelling with Jesus. It's about you finding your home in him daily. It's about you being with Jesus. And hear me on this. It's about living out of that place of belonging. You see, temptation comes to us and it tries to take us away from that place to believe that in order to belong, we need to do what the world often tells us to do. We've got to earn it. We've got to climb a ladder. We have to do all those good things. They're good, important things. It's wonderful to advance our careers. We should desire those things. But when we do it out of a place of belonging, we're not desiring it from self-centered reasons. Everything that God blesses us with, even the fruit of our own labors, they're turned outward and upward. You know how it is. Wealth turned inward destroys. It destroys. Success turned inward destroys. Wealth, success, all the things that come from making wise choices and working hard, when they're turned upward first and they're turned outward, they give life to this world. They point people to Jesus. It's important that we catch that. Discipleship is staying with Jesus. It's responding to his invitation by listening, asking, where are you staying? I'd like to be with you, Jesus. I want to dwell with you. I want to know you personally. I don't want to just know you here. I do need to know you with my mind, but it can't be only my mind. It has to become my heart. My heart is that scripture uses as that place of my will, my emotions, and my mind, my whole being together, everything about me. I want to know you from that spot. And then it's about daily living out that, living out of that place, going to your job, even though you may not be praying, yet you can't pray without ceasing in the sense of constantly just, you know, out loud talking to God. You can't do that at your job. You're doing all kinds of things, but you can live out of a place of constant communion with God. You can live out of a place of belonging. And if you're like me, if I don't actually spend time daily in the presence of Jesus, it's not too long until I don't go out and rebel against God, but I begin, the anxious thoughts get bigger, the stresses, everything changes, and slowly I start to drift away. And Jesus says, come and see. Live out of a place of daily renewal, belonging with Jesus. John 1:14 is a beautiful passage. This is the passage right before our passage today. You could look at verses 14 through 18. John tells us about Jesus. The Word became flesh and he made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And catch with me. Do you know which John this is? This is the same John. This isn't John the Baptist writing here. This is John the Beloved who is with Andrew, invited in to come with Jesus. He's the one who responded. Listen to what he says. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John the Baptist testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." And then John the Beloved says this, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart, and he has revealed God to us." So what was Jesus doing when he said, when John and Andrew came by and they said, "Where are you staying?" And he said, "Why don't you come and see?" Jesus is the unique one, and he's showing them what God the Father is like. He's inviting them to belong. I want to share another scripture with you. It's a Revelation 3:20. And this is, again, written by John the Beloved, the same John from our passage today. Hear the word of the Lord. "Look," it's Jesus speaking, "I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." This idea of intimacy. Jesus saying, "I want to know you personally. I want you to be where I am." John also said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also." Jesus has prepared a place, a way for us to belong. Every one of us. What's the way? How do we go? Remember the disciples said, "Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How do we get there?" What did Jesus say? John 14, 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in me." And the way that he prepares for us is through his death and resurrection. And our part is to place our trust in him as our Savior. Today we're going to receive communion together. And I love that communion is an opportunity. It's not a ritual. It's not just a symbol. It's not a memorial for somebody who isn't present anymore. We're not just looking back. We're looking right here today to the fact that Jesus said, every time we eat and drink this, he's with us. He's with us through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, "I'm not going to share in this meal again until he returns." So we've placed the communion on the seats there. We've also encouraged you at home to gather elements if you'd like to join with us as well in the Lord's Supper. I just want to remind you, when we come to his table today, nobody's worthy. But through his death and resurrection, by trusting in him, Christ himself, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, has made us all worthy. So I want to invite you, even as we prepare to receive these elements, beyond receiving these physical elements, let me encourage you, by faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You don't have to be a member of our church to share in this meal. All that Jesus requires is that we trust in him, that we don't trust in ourselves. We turn away from those things and we place our trust in him. You can take the packages of communion we have here and tear the top layer off. The bread is located there. And I'd invite you to take that with me and let's pray. Let's just give thanks. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you that the Word was made flesh for us. You came to show us who God is. And even as we take this bread and as we eat this in remembrance of you, that your body was broken for us, we remember that we are to renounce all self-righteousness. And we are to trust fully and only in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give thanks for this bread. And as we receive this bread, may we also, in a deeper way, by faith, through your Spirit, might we receive the grace we need today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Let's eat together the bread and give thanks. You can take the foil off the top of the lid. And you take the juice together, and let's pray again, and let's recognize and remember the love of Christ for us. Jesus, we acknowledge that this cup reminds us of the cup of your suffering, that you suffered freely for us and our sins. And Jesus, you have given your life that we might find our lives in you. And Jesus, we would just ask today that as we would share in this drink together, in such a deeper way by faith, your word says that if two or three of us gather in your name, that you are here today. And Jesus, we know that when you died and were raised, you did not just leave us. You sent your Spirit who would be the very presence of Jesus with us. So we just ask now, Lord, in a deeper way, might we receive you. Might we trust in you. And might we remember that our place of belonging is with you. We love you, Jesus. We thank you in your name. Amen. Let's drink together. You can leave these on your seat. Let me just remind you, you're not invited to this meal because you're in some exclusive club. This meal is for everybody. Amen. And even as we take this cup and we take this bread, let's remember there's other people who are searching and they don't know what we have. And let's remember that God calls us to go to share Jesus. And let's ask for his grace to do that. We're going to close. We're going to sing a song here today to close our service. And I want to put up the lyric to the chorus here. This chorus sums it up all really well. This is a beautiful prayer. This is a hymn. You'll find in the church, we sing a lot of different songs. And there's songs we sing over and over for years. And 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus is one of those songs. And it's amazing how quickly our worship songs have meaning personally. And I understand this now. We were singing, I think, the song called All I Have Is Christ, or a song at the beginning of the service. And I can remember sitting here on the front row as a brand new pastor when Pastor Rachel was here singing that song and feeling inadequate and calling out to God and saying, I've never been a pastor before. And now when I sing that song, it fills my heart with hope that you've been faithful, Jesus. Some of you sang this song when you were kids. Some of you sang this song when your spouse was standing beside you who's now in heaven. We've been through so much, but the words of this song are the same. And so hear the words of the chorus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. I love this. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I invite you to stand with me as the worship team leads us. And let me just ask, let's sing this from not just here, let's sing it from a place of belonging in our hearts. Let's sing together.